I would be remiss not to mention Matt Dinneman. His new book is A Parade of Horribles. Matt Dinneman is somebody who, if you asked me a year ago, I'm not sure I would have even heard of him. He had a book called Dungeon Crawler Carl, and that was the first in a series, and this is like the eighth book. These are fantasy books. They're kind of crazy adventure fantasy kind of things. Here's a truck, and there's a on fire on the cover. But anyway, people love Matt Dinneman. We've been selling it like crazy.
That was Arsen Kashkashian, head buyer of the Boulder Bookstore. And before that, you heard Fort Collins-based author Will Pass speaking with Abby O'Brien. Pass's second novel will be published this September. That's your morning magazine for today. I'm Ethan Ginsburg. Don't go anywhere. In just a few minutes, it's Connections, our weekly call-in show with host Kathy Partridge. As always, phone lines will be open and your calls will be welcome. Remember, you can leave us a comment anytime about anything you hear on KGNU by calling 303-447-9911 and leaving us a voicemail. Thank you for listening to KGNU, your local volunteer-powered community radio station.
Support comes from The Next Course, a catering company serving the Colorado Front Range, specializing in corporate catering, special occasions, and personal chef services. More information can be found at thenextcourseco.com.
In-kind support comes from Affordable Closets, providing closet systems and other storage solutions for all areas of homes and offices since 2001. Serving the Colorado Front Range from Fort Collins to Monument. More information can be found at affordablecloset.biz.
Support comes from the 5th Annual Nederland Jazz and Wine Festival, taking place in downtown Nederland's Chipeta Park on Saturday, August 22nd, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., featuring New Orleans, soul, and Latin jazz with samples of wines and over 20 food and art vendors. More information at nedjazzwine.com. That's nedjazzwine.com.
Support comes from Paradise Found Records, located at 1646 Pearl Street in downtown Boulder. Open from 11 to 7 daily, Boulder's source for vinyl and CDs, featuring a full inventory of turntables and Bluetooth speakers, and making house calls for collections. More information can be found at paradisefoundrecordsmusic.com.
Tired of expensive repairs to your old car? Save money and donate it to your favorite community radio station. Donating is easy. We'll send a tow truck to pick it up at no cost to you. We also accept trucks, motorcycles, boats, and more. Call 844-KGNU-CAR or visit kgnu.org and turn your metal menace into music today.
Talk.
Talk show.
Talk back.
Talk radio.
Walk your talk.
Talk your talk.
KGNU Talk.
Call in.
Call in and talk.
Call in and connect.
Connections.
Friday mornings at 8:30
on KGNU.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Connections. I am your host, Fiona Foster. You haven't heard my voice in a while. I'm back after a little hiatus, and I'm really excited to have in the studio with me Kathy Partridge. I'm going to bring up her mic so she can say good morning.
Good morning, and welcome back after about a year and a half.
our co-host, our Connections Collective member, Fiona Foster. I'm really looking forward to sharing the mics with you and getting going on a great show.
Likewise, this is going to be a really great show. Let me introduce our guest and then we'll jump into our conversation. So my guest today is Emily Landes. She serves as project director and provides strategic leadership and operational oversight for Early Milestones work as lead agency for multiple projects and initiatives. And we're going to talk about some of those today. Current projects include Rural Care Network, the impact of Impact on Equity Initiative, as well as other research and communication initiatives. Previously, she was project manager for the Circle Grant Initiative and Expanding Ideal Learning in Colorado and the Colorado Comprehensive Early Childhood Workforce Plan. Emily received a master's degree for the United Nations mandated University of Peace in International Law and Human Rights Studies, where she focused on children's and women's rights. Her bachelor's degree is from Marquette University in International Relations, with a concentration in Peace and Justice Studies and a minor in Spanish and Women's Gender Studies. Let me bring Emily into the conversation to say good morning. Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. So as our listeners might have intimated from the beginnings of our conversation, we're going to be talking about childcare in Colorado today, amongst other associated topics. And part of the reason that this is of particular interest to me is I've taken a hiatus to have a kid and come back into this world of radio, but also newly emerging into the world of parenthood, noticing that this is a struggle for many people in Colorado right now. So, Emily, I'd love if you could just tell us a little bit about your work and also Early Milestones Colorado and what you all do.
Absolutely. So Early Milestones is a nonprofit organization. So we work to improve how systems serve families with young children. And we work across a couple of different topic areas. We work on learning and development, economic mobility, family support, and health and well-being. So we study and support local and state solutions. Then we translate what works into policy and practice so that systems serving families are more effective.
And what do you notice about that kind of relationship, that triangulation between research and policy, and how that works to be to drive some effective solutions? Sorry.
Yes. So we feel like it's really absolutely critical to have that research perspective. We say we listen and learn. That's our role. We listen and learn. We gather lived experience, data, and other information to understand what's working, but also where systems are falling short.
And shortly, callers and listeners, I will invite you to join the conversation and share your lived experience. And I'll give that information out in a minute. So, Emily, tell me about why you feel this is an important topic, and obviously it's your daily work, but what makes this an important topic, an important challenge for Coloradans right now?
Yeah, this is a really critical conversation to have for a number of reasons. So first, when we look at childhood development, the early years are absolutely critical for long-term success. And when families are supported, children are in high-quality care settings, they're more able to learn, to develop relationships, and to thrive. But there's really also this incredible societal and economic impact to childcare that's often overlooked. And in Colorado, due to availability and cost, there are about 90,000 Colorado children that can't access licensed childcare. So that's about a quarter of all children under age 5. And it's actually even worse for families with infants and toddlers. And so parents are losing out on job and education opportunities because of Oh, sorry, my computer. Okay. and I do not want to update right now. Losing out on job or education opportunities due to insufficient childcare. And we'll explore this more in our conversation. But it really is, you know, an issue that impacts so many families on a day-to-day basis.
Emily, you did list those numbers before, and it always, for me, takes a little while to grasp the numbers. Can you repeat that again and maybe put it into the context? What are we talking about? A few families, most families? Give us a description of those numbers and really what that means in the population.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, when we're looking at families with infants, one in three parents.
One in three.
Yeah, that they lost out on a job or an education opportunity due to insufficient childcare, one in three. And about one in four of all children under the age of five don't have access to a licensed childcare spot. And that's even worse when we look at infants and toddlers.
And when you say even worse for infants and toddlers, so it's over one in five. What are those numbers like?
So Colorado only has enough licensed spots for 13% of infants. So, you know, about one in 10 infants would be able to have a licensed spot. And for toddlers, it's 20%. We're seeing about, one in five toddlers would be able to have a licensed spot.
And let's continue to explore what makes this important. So you say licensed spot. Can you tell me a little bit more about how we're defining what that means?
Yeah, that is such a great question. So, you know, for our early childhood system, we have licensed providers. So these are centers, family child care homes who go through the state's licensing system. But also another really important part of our child care system is family, friend, and neighbor care. And, you know, definitely would love to dive into this more in our conversation, but we estimate about half of children are cared for by a family friend or a neighbor. So this could be a grandparent, this could be an auntie, this could be a family friend, but really this care is absolutely essential.
Yeah, shout out to my kid's grandparents who are taking him out right now for a little walk. So when we're talking about the lack of licensed facilities, it sounds like there still is a safety net or an existence of informal care networks around family, friends, you know, presumably when possible, co-parenting spouses taking on those duties. What is the challenge of the fact that there aren't licensed spots then? If there, you know, is this network of people surrounding the child to take care of them, where are you seeing the most challenges when we don't have the licensed spots open?
Yeah, that's a really great point. And where that comes from is that not every family has that kind of support system. Not every family has, you know, grandparents in the area or a trusted neighbor that they feel like they could rely on to provide care for their children, or maybe not at the level that they need. You know, for instance, if both parents do need to be in the workforce full time, you know, maybe grandparents can't provide that much care. Just as an example.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just curious to kind of know more about what you've seen in your research, and you know, further exploring what's come out of your research. Why do you feel like this is an important conversation for us to be having, and particularly in Colorado? Because sometimes these things come up during election years. So what makes this an important conversation to have?
Yeah, so, and it can also be something that people don't think about on a daily basis. You know, we, from some research, we know that about 65% of folks without kids don't think that the availability of affordable childcare impacts their lives. However, when we dig a little deeper, we know that affordable and accessible childcare, it's not just a personal issue. So the lack of childcare impacts communities in profound ways. When there is affordable childcare, there's an increase in labor force participation, which leads to a boost in local economies with more funding available to reinvest in the community in the form of schools and parks and infrastructure. And then quality care, we're building, you know, the society of tomorrow, we're building the workforce of tomorrow. I'll talk about this more later, but there's also really an incredible return on investment for every dollar invested in early childhood. And I'll share one quick anecdote. And that's coming from Montrose, Colorado. So the lack of childcare in Montrose is impacting recruitment and retention of the police force. And they've actually found that this has negatively impacted response times for emergencies. So that's maybe not something that you would notice as you go about your daily life, but it's just one of the ways in which the lack of affordable and accessible childcare does impact our communities.
That's a really interesting fact that it's impacting larger social systems and larger systems that we rely on. And it makes me think about how Denver Chamber of Mothers ran a social media campaign on Mother's Day that said everyone relies on someone who relies on childcare. And I think that was really an effective way of communicating that this is a wider issue for all of us, even if we don't have children in our lives or, that we're responsible for.
You know, it seems to me that for many people who don't have kids, people default into how they experience their own childhood, or if they're older, how childcare was when they had kids. Maybe a decade ago, maybe a generation ago, and are kind of stuck into some models of how things work. Say what it meant to rely on some part-time after-school child care when rents were less and the wages were able to more better provide, and the kind of short-term, part-time, during the school day jobs were maybe more available. Can you talk about how this fits in an economic situation? And if you've seen that too, where it sounds like people just don't get what it's like to have a young family right now, if you don't have your own.
Yeah, absolutely. It is much more difficult in 2026 to just have one parent in the workforce. Most families do need both parents to be working to stay afloat. We see about 65% of families with young children have all working parents or all available parents in the workforce. While sometimes it's possible for one parent to take a break for a year or two, usually just because of the economic situation of our state, the high cost of living, like you said, rent, mortgages, insurance, utilities, all of these costs make it really difficult to just have one person in the workforce. And we also for families where there is only one parent, it is incredibly difficult. We see that single parents often spend about 50% of their income on childcare.
Wow, 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So 50% of their income, I'll touch on that in a minute, because we've all been listening to Connections for the past 20 minutes. And so I wanted to reintroduce our voices. You were just listening to Emily Landes, who is the project director and strategic leader at Early Milestones Colorado, which is an organization that uses policy, research, and practice to create equitable, sustainable solutions for families, children, and care providers. I am your host today, Fiona Foster. I'm also joined in the studio by my co-host, Kathy Partridge. And we'd really love to get some callers and some listeners involved in the conversation. 303-442-4242 is the number here in the studio. Again, that's 303-442-4242. You can also email me at dj@kgnu.org. Again, that's dj@kgnu.org. And as Emily put it earlier in the show, share with us your lived experience, whether you have children or you are caring for children or supporting someone who does, or maybe you don't have children and you have a question or a thought about this topic as well, because as we're seeing, it is a topic that impacts Colorado on the whole. And so speaking of that, Emily, I'm curious if you could talk a little bit more about what makes this a difficult problem to solve in Colorado, because we have some of the highest costing childcare in the country, in this state. And what is making that a difficult thing to solve?
And, you know, I will say, you know, without public investment, it is a nearly impossible problem to solve, because early childhood is not publicly funded like our K-12 system is. And while there are some programs like Head Start, and Colorado has a program called CCAP that help low-income families afford childcare, there are so many families that don't qualify. And, you know, families are paying, you know, at least around $15,000 per year per child to have their kid in a licensed facility. And, you know, infant toddler childcare is expensive because it requires more staff. You want a higher ratio to make sure the kids are well cared for. And the recommended ratio for infants is one staff member for every four babies. And so, you know, that is a considerable staffing cost. And finding the workforce to care for infants and toddlers is challenging. These jobs are demanding, and individuals are often not well compensated for this critical work. And also, you know, childcare is a difficult business to go into, and so many of our providers are doing it because, you know, this is their heart work, and this is, you know, the work they really care about. But, you know, it's also, it's not like a lot of our providers are even making much money. Profit margins are very slim, and staying financially solvent can be challenging. And this goes back to some of the other issues in Colorado, like including high rent, utilities, insurance prices, getting increasingly expensive. So that also impacts our providers' abilities to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. So it's really a number of different components that are kind of working together, like lack of public investment, you know, increase a need for, you know, more staffing, and then some of the economic factors that are at play within the state all kind of combine to make it a really challenging issue to solve.
Well, let's come back to some of those issues. We have a caller, so we're going to bring up Jake into the studio. Jake, and potentially from City Council. Is that what you're...
Longmont
City Council, Kathy's hey, telling
Jake.
Me. Welcome
hey,
to Connections.
Kathy.
Thanks for calling
hey,
in.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to thank you all for focusing on this critical issue, because when we talk about issues that are impacting community and working families, this is the economic and moral crisis that is facing us regionally and locally here in Boulder County, especially. And I appreciated just hearing your guests talk a little bit about the lack of public investment, because that is absolutely one of the core challenges. And CCAP has been frozen for years. We lack the core infrastructure, subsidy, and systems to make sure that providers get what they need and families get what they need. You know, I have my own lived experience with this issue. I have three kids under the age of four. My wife and I pay, you know, an exorbitant amount of money. But it's not about kids paying for daycare. For me, I want to kind of broaden it. I always think about this as really an economic topic about what kind of community are we going to be? Are we going to be a community that allows folks who want to live here and work here to put down roots and make it and afford to live here? Or are we going to, you know, continue to, you know, allow working families to be pushed out by rising costs in this space? And it's a real challenge. It's not an easy issue. But I wanted to give a shout out to Brighter Start Boulder County who is actively working to address the problem and has launched an initiative campaign. And you can go to brighterstartbouldercounty.com. I don't know if you've talked about it or not yet. And is planning to go to the commissioners next month and seek referral on a ballot measure to create public investment here in Boulder County on this issue. So there's a lot going on in this space, and thanks for talking about it.
Well, Jake, I really appreciate you calling in. Thank you, and for sharing your perspective and also your lived experience as well. And Kathy, I saw you making some notes there, so I wanted to see if you
Jake Marston, can you say a bit more about Brighter Start Boulder County?
Absolutely. Brighter Start Boulder County is an initiative somewhat from a lot of the folks at the Early Childhood Council of Boulder County. Casey Hedrick, who is amazing, is running it. I happen to serve on the executive committee of this organization, and it has produced a plan for a public investment structure that would essentially create a $30 million public investment into early childhood care and education, especially in that 0-3 space. And, you know, we hear a lot, and we've heard a lot in communicating with residents and the community about this, that, oh, well, you know, haven't we already solved this issue with universal pre-K? Actually, universal pre-K in a lot of ways made the problem for young kids and families with young kids much worse, because all of the public investment in early childhood education has gone into that UPK universal preschool infrastructure, meaning there's not been the support for 0-3 that we need, which, as your guest was just saying, is absolutely the hardest place to get staffed up, hardest place to for providers to manage. And, you know, it costs $23,000 per kid for full-time daycare. It costs more to send a kid to daycare than it does to send them to CU Boulder. And that's not acceptable if we want Boulder County to be a place where folks can make it. So really encourage folks to go to brightershartbouldercounty.com and take a look at the plan. And we'll have more to share on that here shortly, and what I hope will be a ballot initiative this fall.
And we'll look forward at KGNU to covering the progress of that in Boulder County. Thanks for your call, Jake Marsing.
Yeah, Jake, thank you so much, Jake. And so my guest, Emily Landes, I wanted to turn it over to you and just have you speak a little bit about your thoughts as Jake was talking there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been following Boulder's work in developing the ballot initiative, and I think it's really exciting. We saw in November that several local counties did pass ballot measures for early childhood. So Larimer County passed a ballot measure which will raise about $28 million a year for early childhood. The Roaring Fork Valley also created a special tax district to raise about $10 million a year for early childhood. And several communities have passed lodgers taxes to fund early childhood, like La Plata County. But you know, this is really a patchwork. So some communities in Colorado are creating these funding streams and public investments for early childhood, and some aren't. Some communities had lodgers taxes on the ballot and did not pass them. There's also some momentum building around a statewide ballot initiatives in 2026. The proposal for this group, which is called Protect Colorado's Future, is to lower taxes for about 98% of Coloradans and then raise taxes on individuals and corporations making more than $500,000 a year. And then the funding would partially go towards early childhood. So I want to second our caller in calling for increased public investments in early childhood.
You are listening to KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. I'm your host today on Connections, Fiona Foster, and I also have another host, Kathy Partridge, here with me. And you were just listening to my guest, Emily Landes, who's a project director and strategic leader at Early Milestones Colorado. They're an organization that uses the policy research practice loop to create equitable, sustainable solutions for families, children, and providers. And I would love to have some thoughts from our listeners. You can email me if that's more convenient for you, dj@kgnu.org. You can call in, as our last caller did, potentially on their way to work, 303-442-4242, 303-442-4242. 4242. And we have about 30 minutes left of the show, so there's always kind of a rush at the end. I want to encourage you, if you have something on your mind right now, please reach out and join our conversation here in the studio. So, Emily, you mentioned a little while ago the return on investment and how we can talk about, you know, this is an economic issue, but it's also one that's worth investing in. And so I see that we have another caller coming in here, but so we'll circle back to this topic, but just really briefly, as we get this caller situated in our call board, could you start telling me a little bit about what makes this a good return on investment for all of us to invest in?
Absolutely. So lapses in childcare cost workers and the economy. So in Colorado, we see that gaps in childcare will cost the state's workers about $4 billion in lost earnings through 2035. And so that, you know, it's just as our state is facing a budget deficit and cost of living continues to increase year after year. This is really something that we need to prioritize. And there are long-term societal benefits to investing in early childhood. So research shows us that for every dollar that we invest in early childhood, there's a return on investment of over $10. And this is due to higher lifetime earnings, lower health costs, lower costs of the criminal justice system when we invest in our youngest children.
So we have a caller here. We have a caller called John. So let me bring John up in the studio. John, welcome to Connections.
Hey, thank you so much. I just wanted to second Jake's acknowledgement of what you do and how wonderful that is. My mom was a single mom, so I appreciate all you're doing and wish you the best.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate that. And I think that really raises an interesting point about single family households and the burden that this puts on them to not be able to have the childcare. So I'm curious, John, what was that, you know, growing up for you, what types of juggling did you notice happening in your household?
Well, we were kind of struggling just to pay for food, but I will say that daycare meant the world to me. After school daycare, all my friends were there. It's the happiest point of my day. Summer camp was amazing. So that all speaks to me, and it was difficult financially. My mom had to pay for food, transportation, all of that, and daycare.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, John. Thank you. And it sounds like, so I'm gonna feed you down as we talk about this topic a little bit further. It does sound like, you know, from what John is saying there, that there's the non-monetary impact. You know, we're talking about the kind of 10-to-1 investment financially, but there's the qualitative impact of just having a place where children can go, where they feel safe, where they can do activities and be with friends that make them feel, you know, taken care of. And that is really important. So, Emily Landes, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what you've seen more broadly as you've been doing in-person research throughout Colorado.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, John, for sharing. You know, we definitely see that social emotional development really flourishes, you know, in this age range. So kids are starting to learn to build relationships and communicate with their peers, but also with adults. They're starting to learn and develop and make sense of the world. And so these, you know, years are just so critical. I mean, we look at language development, relationship development, and, you know, in high quality care settings, this is really what's happening. You know, children are learning to be in relationship. They're kind of setting the foundation for as they start school, how to be in those settings. It's just a really critical time in development.
Mm-hmm. I know that watching my son over the past year, the amount of development that they do in that sort of 0-to-1, 0-to-2 is really it's crazy. And the mental, the emotional, social, they're just watching everything and like absorbing it. And so having that available to parents, especially at that critical time, if both parents are needed in the workforce, if a household is headed up by one parent. And I did want to touch on this topic a little bit, because I think often we get lost in the conversation about two parents. So tell me a little bit about single family households and what you've seen and the impact on single family households. And additionally, speaking about non-white families in Colorado, because I know that they are disproportionately impacted by this lack of childcare and by the high cost too.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I think, you know, John brought up, you know, a few things, like in terms of single family households, like, of course, the financial burden, but also, you know, relying on one person for all transportation, you know, for food, for, you know, any medical benefits. It's an incredible amount of pressure. It's very challenging given our economic situation. And we also have done research and have found that there are very prominent disparities for Black and Hispanic communities when it comes to accessing childcare. So in some research we did, we found that Black families are most likely to report difficulty in finding childcare out of any group at about 77%. And low-income families are also the most likely to report unmet childcare needs. And the top reason for unmet childcare needs can also differ based on respondent ethnicity and income. So over half of Hispanic parents with unmet childcare needs say cost is the reason. However, that's only the case for about 20% of non-Hispanic white Coloradans. We also know that Black and Hispanic families are more likely to use family, friend, and neighbor care because it is more culturally responsive. So for instance, a Spanish-speaking family might feel more comfortable having their child cared for by a Spanish-speaking neighbor. These are just some of the things that we absolutely see when looking at different communities in Colorado.
It's interesting to me that you brought up the family, friend, and neighbor care, because when my children were young, I patched together so many different ways of child care, including, which we could talk about, some daycare centers closing, daycare centers being too full. But for some of the time, it was just getting together with friends, neighbors, people that we knew that had an informal childcare setup, unlicensed informal setups. And yet, I remember those as being really kind of good for my kids, you know, in terms of the relationship and the socialization. They weren't formal programs, but there's a value to that neighborhood family-based system. And I'm wondering, as you're envisioning programs that could be better, what would make a difference to make those family, friend, and neighbor setups maybe encouraged and more possible, more financially sound?
Yeah, that's an incredible point. And you know, some of our work at Early Milestones is to shift the needle in terms of public recognition of the importance of family, friend, and neighbor care, and also including family, friend, and neighbor providers, we call them FFNs, in public investments of the future. So for instance, a lot of family, friend, and neighbor caregivers aren't paid for childcare services or receive very low pay, but also many of them are living below the poverty line. So increased public investment going to FFN providers, we feel is really critical. Additionally, FFNs are more isolated often than other providers, you know, especially if they're providing care in their home. So building community, which is something we do in one of our programs called the Rural Care Network, as we build community between rural FFN providers, and they also have such a desire for training too. So many of them have had children of their own, but they want to continue to learn about best practices in terms of child development, and also how to care for themselves as caregivers.
You are listening to Connections. You have just been listening to my guest, Emily Landes from Early Milestones, Colorado. She's a project director and strategic leader there. And I am your host today, Fiona Foster, with my co-host, Kathy Partridge. We are here in the studio for another 20 minutes. 303-442-4242 is the number to join us, and dj@kgnu.org. And I notice often that sometimes when the lines are quiet, people are just absorbing and they're listening. And I really do want to invite you to share, to reach out to us if you have a lived experience. You're maybe caring for a child, or you are one of these family friend providers, and you're, you know, wanting to share your experience. We would love to hear from you. Also, if you just have a question or a comment, or a thought, and you are childless, as you hear, this is an important conversation for all of us. So 303-442-4242 or dj@kgnu.org. And so, Emily, I'm wondering if you could continue to speak about that continuing education for some of these informal providers, because it sounds like they're really kind of hungry for the empowerment to continue doing what they're doing, but, you know, doing it in a way that is more connected, maybe, you know, receiving some additional education and some additional support for themselves.
I'd love to. We have a program called the Rural Care Network. So this is a community network of rural FFN providers. And so we have a participatory design process so that they're really designing the network. They're telling us what trainings and opportunities they want, and we work to arrange them. And what they're telling us is that they really want more information about social emotional development. They want training on how to address challenging behaviors. They also want more support at, you know, in terms of their own caregiving. They in terms of self-care and addressing burnout. So what we do is we really focus on that community building aspect. We want providers to feel like they have a community that they can rely on and a safe space where they can learn new topics. You know, everything from like nutrition, how to work with picky eaters, which came up a lot, to co-regulation and how to address difficult behaviors. We know from both our licensed providers and our FFNs that there are a lot of differences raising children in our current context from even 20 years ago. I mean, so many things like screen time considerations and you know, educational processes are different. The context is shifting, and you know, our providers who are grandparents or relatives or family friends, they want to know how they can best show up for the kids they care for. So that's what we're here to do in that particular project.
So we have another caller, Richard, who's going to join us. Richard, welcome to Connections.
Hi there. I'm very, very happy to hear this program on early childhood this morning. I am Richard Garcia, and I was the founder of the Colorado Statewide Parent Coalition, and that particular organization has been working with family, friend, and neighbor childcare providers since 2006. That program has trained over 2,000 FFN providers across the state of Colorado. It's a program that's designed to meet all the guidelines of the rules and regulations of Colorado Early Childhood. It's also designed for our child providers to go through the process, and if they want to become licensed, they can become licensed. And they can also become eligible to apply for a child development associate credential. It's a program that's 130 hours long, and it's 15 weeks. And if people want more information on that FFN training, they can reach out to Mila Lowe at 720-852. Wait a minute. Let me get this number straight.
Okay.
It's been a while. But in the meantime, while I'm looking for that number, you can also support the effort that's going on in Boulder County, because through ECCBC, Boulder County is getting ready to submit a process to our county commissioners to hopefully get the Early Childhood Bright Start initiative on the ballot for November 26th. And if that is successful, it will generate pretty close to $30 million a year to provide some sustainable funding for early childhood in Boulder County. It's a great, great effort that we're doing, and I'm hoping that people will support that once we get it on the ballot.
Yeah, it sounds like that will be a process that we will be watching this summer and fall. And Richard, if you have that number, we could read that out twice for people before we change topics a little bit. Were you able to find that number?
I'm looking for it right now.
Okay.
If you can hold just a second here.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, and thank you so much for calling in. Colorado Statewide Parent Coalition is one of the supporters of the Rural Care Network. So it's great that you were listening.
Yeah, I would have missed it. I just got the information earlier this morning, and I said, wow, this is really cool.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Richard. And just while you're looking for that number, I will say we have about 15 minutes left of our show here on Connections. Co-hosting with Kathy Partridge here. My name is Fiona Foster. And the number in the studio to join us is 303-442-4242. Again, that's 303-442-4242. And our email is dj@kgnu.org. And my guest is Emily Landes, and she is she's a project director and strategic leader at Early Milestones Colorado.
And while Richard Garcia is looking for the number, Emily Landes, it sounds like there may not be funding for childcare, but there's really this network of people who are concerned about it and trying to make change, and trying to address. Address the deficits that we're seeing. Can you say more about what you're seeing in the efforts to improve the access to childcare systemically, such as this initiative in Boulder? Is this something happening around the Denver metro and state areas as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We really see that a lot of communities are becoming more aware of childcare as an issue, and as an issue that impacts our community. For instance, you know, in the Roaring Fork Valley, they worked for almost 10 years to pass their ballot initiative. To really form a coalition to build support and understanding around the issue. So, we're really heartened by the fact that so many communities, so many families are raising their voices and sharing why childcare access is important to thriving communities. In Boulder, we know that's happening with the proposed ballot initiative. We're seeing some momentum build for statewide ballot initiatives, which we feel are really important to address some of the gaps, because not all communities are having that conversation yet, but their children still need that support.
Richard, I'm wondering if you've found the number yet.
I did find it.
All right. If you could say that twice, just for our listeners to get a chance to.
You bet. It's 720-890-0123. 720-890-0123.
And remind us. Oh, go ahead.
And the person to contact is Mirla, M-I-R-L-A, Low, L-O-W, and she is the director of that particular initiative for the Statewide Parent Coalition. So this particular program actually started in Boulder County in 2006.
Great. So then if people are interested in getting more training, or they're interested in being more involved in the Friends and Family Network, that is a number that they can reach out to. So, yeah, thank you so much, Richard Garcia, for calling in. I really appreciate that. And we have just a few minutes left. So if you would like to join the conversation here at KGNU, you are welcome to join us. Let's come back to this idea of return on investment, because I think we started having that conversation, Emily Landes, about the important impact that care has, especially for young children. So it sounds like there's that deficit in particular for the 0 to 3, because we have this, we have the pre-K program that is funded by the state, and that, it sounds like, is, you know, potentially another topic for our conversation. But it sounds like there are elements that are working well to support children and get them ready for preschool and for first grade. But this younger age group is really still experiencing a massive gap that is very expensive to cover. But you were mentioning the return on investment of kind of a 10-to-1 financial impact, exponentially, really, of investing in children that young. Could you speak a little bit more about the different facets of the return on investment when we create safe and you know, emotionally supportive spaces for young children?
Definitely. So this comes from a University of Minnesota study about public investment, across the country, a longitudinal study. So over the course of many years, of how public investment generates a long-term impact. So for every $1 that's invested in early childhood, there's a return on investment of over $10. So what that means is that for every dollar that we spend on programs that support young children, there's a long-term investment of over $10 that is generated back into our communities through higher lifetime earnings for children who are invested in at a young age, lower health costs for those children, lower costs to our criminal justice system. So it's really comprehensive, that these investments are so critical and help lead to long-term, healthy, thriving communities.
And we have a few minutes left here. Kathy, do you have any thoughts you want to share?
Yeah, you know, as I'm listening to this, I have an international family, and I'm thinking about how my nieces and nephews in Europe and other countries have such a different experience. Just musing a little bit about the need for a sort of a social common good, where the idea of young families as you know, integral parts. I mean, it's a trite cliche to say that children are our future, but our country seems to have dropped them off the edge of the cliff rather than creating an opportunity for growth and security. And I'm wondering, is there maybe a shift in perception about child childcare? I'm thinking about New Mexico, a much poorer state than Colorado, has passed a universal child care measure. What's it going to take to create that sense of change that we need?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, Colorado is making strides, but there is still really so much to do. And family leave is so important. Infant care is costly, but in many other countries, infant care isn't as needed because a parent can stay home for an entire year, with their child, and so it is of course about childcare, but it's also about family leave. It's about having this be a continued conversation, in our state. We saw during the pandemic there was a huge spike in this conversation. Everyone was talking about how essential childcare was, but as we came out of the pandemic, that conversation wasn't really in the front of people's minds anymore. So really just making sure that this is kind of at the forefront of one of the critical issues of our state, that we are constantly having this conversation, and that we are continuing to advocate for increased public investment. And absolutely kudos to New Mexico for leading the way. I hope Colorado's next.
And I just want to give a brief shout out to the family leave that we have in Colorado. If people don't know about this, it's something that people can access even if they are employed. You can use it for the state leave. But I'm self-employed. I have my own business. And so I actually went to the state for my 12 weeks of childcare. And it is an amazing program to have as a person who is self-employed. And so just that was a great shout out. But I also, lived in Europe for a number of years, and my, coworkers and friends got 6 months, 12 months. So I really hope that as a country we continue
and
to push
child
forward.
Enrichment at the same time.
Yeah.
I visited a center in France where my grandnephew, cutest kid ever, was receiving an enrichment program while their mom was at home on family leave. These are things we barely even dream as possible, and that's their daily lived experience.
Yeah.
And I'm also reminded that this is the weekend before our primary election. What a great time to make voices heard by choosing candidates that support early childhood education. We can look at the records of our candidates and vote accordingly. I'm sure there are places where you can find out good information and get those ballots in by Tuesday.
Yes, that's a really important reminder. Thank you, Kathy, about how important it is to make your voices heard even in primary elections. So with the last couple minutes here that we have, Emily Landes, I just was wondering if people, were, say, their curiosity, their interest was sparked, they started to think about this topic in a new way. What are your thoughts on some kind of next steps that people could take if they start to get interested in this conversation about early childcare?
Yeah, so a couple different avenues, and we, of course, if you want to visit our website at earlymilestones.org, we have a lot of different resources to understand the landscape in Colorado. I mean, that's child care, but also health and well-being of children and economic mobility, which are super important topics. And then also, like we've talked about in this call, there is momentum building in a number of different communities around public investment for childcare. Maybe your community is one of them, and so getting involved in some of those coalitions, and if not, maybe exploring in your community, finding others who care about this topic, and looking at what some possible levers are to help move the issue forward where you are. And we're happy to help support that. So you can also reach out to us, and we can have a conversation about your community, and ways that we can continue to support and talk about this issue.
Yeah, I just wanted to direct people to the Early Milestones Colorado website, because you have a lot of really interesting primary research that you've done on families' experiences in Colorado related to child care providers, health and well-being, and really, you know, if it's a business owner who's interested in understanding more about this topic for their employees, or it's just family members who are curious or citizens who are curious, there's some really great research done with Colorado families that you all have just accessible on your website. Well, Kathy Partridge, I just want to bring you into the conversation if you have any last thoughts or comments before we close here on Connections.
I just appreciate that we have had a chance to talk about this program with you, Emily. It is really critical for people such as myself. I don't have kids. I don't have grandkids. But it affects us all. It affects all our listeners. And it affects folks who choose not to have children. Our society is an interwoven web of relationships and economic as well as social. And this is an important reminder that we're all in this together. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. And Fiona, thank you for coming back to Connections. We've missed your voice. It's great to have you here as part of our Friday morning call-in show. And you'll be back on the air in a month or so.
I am. I have another show at the end of July, which I'm excited about. So stay tuned. Follow our social media for more information about that guest. And tune in next Friday for Connections. We're always here at 8:30 to 9:30. Always excited to hear your voices and host a conversation with our guests. So Emily Landis, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you and having you as our guest today.
Likewise, I really appreciate this opportunity, and it's been an incredible conversation.
Talk.
Talk show.
Talk back.
Talk radio.
Walk your talk.
Talk your talk. KGNU Talk.
Call in.
Call in and talk.
Call in and connect.
Connections.
Friday mornings at 8:30
on KGNU.
Day after day, I'm open to you. I'm open to you. Yet I look for the light through the pool.